Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Choose Life Congregation on this Shabbat, the 4th of April, 2020. On the Hebraic calendar, today would be the 10th of Nisan or of Abib, the first month. And today is the day when Israel would be choosing the lamb to bring into their homes to keep until Pesach, as Passover is coming up this week. And just as today they would be bringing the lamb into their homes, may each of us take this time to reflect to make sure we have the Lamb of Yah in our homes. If it's not a decision you've made, if you have gone astray, if it has been a time of concern, I urge you today to make sure you have accepted the Lamb of Yah, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, our Savior, our Lord. Father, we just thank you for this day that you have made, for your Shabbat, for your time of rest, that even as the country, much of it is in quarantine, is in lockdown, many people are off of work, much of the entertainment is shut down, much of the sports is shut down, that, Father, even in the midst of this, much of the land is taking a Sabbath, though perhaps not by their choice. Now, Father, even in the midst of this storm, we will raise a hallelujah. Even in the midst of this crisis, you are on the throne. You are not undone. May we place our trust in you. May our eyes be firmly fixed above from where our help comes from. May we know that you still have us in the palm of your hand, even in these days. May we walk on that straight and narrow that leads to life. Thank you that you have given us your word, your commands. You have told us to choose life. And thank you, as Pesach approaches, that you so loved the world that you sent your only begotten Son, and that he endured all things, even unto the cross, and that we have been purchased with such a great price, that as we commemorate you bringing Israel out of Egypt, we commemorate you bringing us out of the kingdom of darkness into your kingdom of light. May we walk worthy of the calling that you have called us. May we be worthy of the price that you have paid. May we have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. May we lift you up, Messiah, that you may draw all men unto yourself. Amen. We do want to welcome those who are listening to the broadcast live. I apologize if all of the worship service did not come through. We've been having some technical difficulties this morning trying to get everything to work right. Again, for those who are joining us by podcast, this will be set up, uploaded after the service or tomorrow, so it should be available on podcast. Mississippi is in a shelter-in-place order. So again, we are meeting in our separate homes today, joined together in spirit, and hopefully joined together through the broadcast. Looking forward to the day when we can be joined together again. Continue to pray and be watchful during these days. The Spirit of Yah warned us for the last several months of things coming, of being prepared. I hope we heeded that warning and are physically prepared. But it concerns me as I see, on one hand, the virus continuing to spread, but also the reaction as it seems our Constitution, we no longer have the freedom of assembly. We no longer have the freedom of movement. We no longer have the freedom of innocent and still proven guilty. We hardly have the freedom of speech when it comes to some topics and beliefs. And instead, it's been labeled fake news or propaganda. And at the best, just being politically incorrect. At the worst, as they're looking to limit speech that disagrees with their topics. Continue to be watchful for the things that are going on, for the things that are going behind the scenes. But again, I won't trust in horses and chariots, but I will trust in Yah. As he's already told us, to come out of her, my people, that you partake not of her sins and her plagues. As we were already making preparations and we were already seeing where the world was going, the things that were taking place, we should have already been preparing our hearts, minds, families for these days that are upon us. Our Torah portion today is out of Exodus chapter 11. Beginning in verse 1. And Yah said to Moshe, I am bringing yet one more plague on Pharaoh and on Mitzrayim. After that, he's going to let you go from here. When he lets you go, he shall drive you out from here altogether. Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor, and every woman from her neighbor, objects of silver and objects of gold. And Yah gave the people favor in the eyes of the Mitzrites. And the man Moshe was very great in the land of Mitzrayim, in the eyes of Pharaoh's servants, and in the eyes of the people. And Moshe says, thus says Yah, about midnight I'm going out into the midst of Mitzrayim, and all the firstborn in the land of Mitzrayim shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of cattle. And there shall be a great cry throughout the land of Mitzrayim, such as has never been, or ever shall be again. But against any of the children of Israel, no dog shall move its tongue, against man or against beast, so that you know that Yah makes distinction between Mitzrayim and Israel. And all these servants of yours shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, get out, you and all the people at your feet. And after that I shall go out. And he went from Pharaoh in great displeasure. But Yah said to Moshe, Pharaoh is not going to listen to you in order to multiply my wonder in the land of Mitzrayim. And Moshe and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. However, Yah strengthened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Now, as we read this, we see that again, Yah was making a distinction between Egypt and Israel. But distinction wasn't just based on where you were born, what nationality you were. If you remember, as the plagues came, the distinction was also where you were. The distinction was there was darkness in all of Egypt, but there was light in Goshen. The hell fell on all of Egypt, but Goshen was spared. Because it wasn't just being born Israelite or born Jewish. It wasn't just being born Mitzrayim or born Egyptian that determined, but it determined if you were obeying, if you were where Yah said to be, if you were set apart, if you had distinguished yourself as being different. As far as we know, those Israelites that lived in Egypt and not in Goshen endured darkness, endured lice, endured gnats. And conversely, if there were Egyptians who chose to live in Goshen, they were spared those things. We know that we'll read, as the multitude left out, a mixed multitude went with them. So that Yah wasn't a respecter of persons, but that the door was always open. I believe even during this time, he is beginning to make a distinction between those who are truly his and those who have followed another way. Chapter 12, and Yah spoke to Moshe and to Aaron in the land of Mitzrayim, saying, "This new moon is the beginning of new moons for you. It is the first new moon of the year for you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this new moon, each one of them is to take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it. According to the number of the beings, according to each man's need, you make your count for the lamb. Let the lamb be a perfect one, a year-old male. Take it from the sheep or from the groats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same new moon. Then all of the assembly of the congregation of Israel shall slay it between the evenings. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat it. They shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its leg and its inward parts. And do not leave of it until morning. And what remains of it until morning, you are to burn with fire. And this is how you eat it: your loins girded, with your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Pesach of Yah." Excuse me. So here again, we see that on this day, this 10th of the first month, Yah gave them specific instructions to take the lamb, to watch the lamb, to bring it into their homes. Over the next 4 days, to care for it, to watch over it, to it to be amongst them. So that the sacrifice wasn't just of a lamb, but a lamb that you literally had cared for, had seen, had been with for days. So that it began to impart some of the cost, just in a small way, that Yah was doing for us when he sent us the Paschal lamb. And they were very specific on what we were to do with it, to put the blood upon the doorpost. Very specific in how we were to prepare it, how we were to eat it, what we were to do. Because again, the Father cares for us, and he wants us in these days to see life, to see blessings. So he gives us a way in which we should walk. Not out of fear, not out of earning, but out of knowing that the Father loves us and that he has the best for us and that he is making a way where there seems to be no way. That he's trying to protect, trying to watch over us as the mother hen does her chicks. And that if we follow in the footsteps that he lays out, then we will be safe from the schemes of the enemy, from the wiles of Hasatan, from the things that seek to destroy us during these days. Verse 12, and I shall pass through the land of Mitzrayim on that night, and shall strike all the firstborn in the land of Mitzrayim, both man and beast. And on all the mighty ones of Mitzrayim I shall execute judgment. I am Yah. We see even with this plague, this virus that is coming through, it is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if you're famous or unknown. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It is ravaging through state after state, country after country, person after person. And the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I shall pass over you. And let the plague not come on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Mitzrayim. Hallelujah for his promise and his provision, even before this day, that by the blood of the Lamb, I am healed, I am sealed, I am protected. I am promised eternal life. And that I can rest not in my power, not in my abilities, but in his power, in his finished work, and in his ability to lead, guide, and direct. In his love that even beforehand he gave a way that I could walk in and therefore choose life. Verse 14, and this day shall become to you a remembrance, and you shall celebrate it as a festival to Yah throughout your generations. Celebrate it as a festival and everlasting law. Which is why today we still celebrate Pesach as it comes next week to remember what he has done, to prepare for such a day as this, and to look forward to the day when the sacrifice that Messiah has done will be fulfilled again as he returns and sets up his kingdom. And as we see his reign on earth truly begin, as we look forward to that day of his return. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Indeed, on the first you cause leaven to cease from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that being shall be cut off from Israel. We see again, even as they got the yeast out of the house, this week as we will be getting the yeast out of the house, as we'll be burning it to remove it from the land, as we'll be scouring through the pantry, through the stores of food, and anything that has leaven we'll be getting rid of, even in this time where many are saying, no, we need to hold on to everything. Oh, we don't know if we'll be able to replace what we're getting rid of. That I choose to trust in his laws. I choose to trust that he knows best, even more so than I do. To be able to say, Father, I trust not in my eyes of what I see, not into what man is speaking, but I trust instead in your ways, in your wisdom. For your ways are not like my ways. Your thoughts are not like my thoughts. But as high above the earth are the heavens, are your ways than my ways. And I choose to obey and to trust in you. The same way I urge you to look within your life, to open your heart to the Ruach HaKodesh, to the Holy Spirit. To open your life to those who are around you and say, see, is there any wicked way within me? Search me, try me. that in my life I can remove the leaven that leavens a whole lump. We know that sin is like leavens, or like this virus that a little bit goes in and it begins to multiply, and before long it affects all who are around it, as well as the host. And so we know the wages of sin is death. But hallelujah, the gift of our Elohim is eternal life through our Messiah. Verse 16, on the first day, it is a set-apart gathering, and on the seventh day, you have a set-apart gathering. No work at all is done on them, only that which is eaten by every being that alone is prepared for you. So again, we have two high Sabbaths coming up with Pesach. The first day of unleavened bread and the last day, as well as the Sabbath, regular Sabbath in the intervening times. I urge you to take advantage if you have not before, as most of the country is already under orders not to go to work, to take those days, to set them aside, to obey what Yah is saying, to choose life. Verse 17, you shall guard the festival of Matzah, for on this same day I brought your divisions out of the land of Mitzrayim, and you shall guard this day throughout your generations an everlasting law. How much more important to guard that day as we are in the midst, literally, of seeing a separation. In the first month, on the 14th day of the new moon, in the evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day on the new moon in the evening. For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses, for if anyone eats what is leaven, that same being shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether sojourner or native of the land. Do not eat that which is leaven. In all of your dwellings you are to eat unleavened bread. And Moshe called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, go out and take lambs for yourself according to your clans and slay the Pesach. You shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And you, none of you, go out of the door of his house until morning. Yah shall pass on to smite the Mitzrayites, and shall see the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, and Yah shall pass over the house and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall guard this word as a law for you and your sons forever. And it shall be when you come to the land which Yah gives you, as he promised, that you shall guard this service. And it shall be when your children says to you, what does the service mean to you? That you shall say, it is the Pesach slaughtering of Yah, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel and Mitzrayim, when he smote the Mitzrayites and delivered our households. And the people bowed their heads and did obeisance. And the children of Israel went away and did so, as Yah had commanded Moshe and Aaron, so they did. I would encourage you again this week, as Pesach comes, that even as the people here bowed their head and did obeisance, they went away and did so, that we would do the same. Even though we may not be able to gather together, that you would gather as families, as they did at this first Passover, that you would celebrate the Pesach unto Yah, that we would remember our brothers and how they were delivered in times past. We would remember all of the great miracles he has done, not just for our forefathers, but through our lives, in our families, in our fellowships, with those whom we know. and that we would praise him even in the midst of these times and for the days ahead, that we would be prepared. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 46. Verse 13 through the end of the chapter, 28, says, the word which Yah spoke to Jeremiah the prophet about the coming of Nebuchadnezzar, sovereign of Babel, to strike the land of Mitzrayim. Declare in Mitzrayim, and let it be heard in Migdol, and let it be heard in Noph and in Tophanes, say, stand fast and be prepared, for a sword shall devour all around you. Why were your strong ones swept away? They did not stand because Yah drove them away. He made many stumble indeed. They fell over each other and said, arise, let us go back to our own people, to the land of our birth, away from the pressing sword. There they cried, Pharaoh, sovereign of Mitzrayim, is but a noise. He has let the appointed time pass by. I urge you not to let this appointed time pass by. As I live, declares the sovereign, whose name is Yah of hosts, for as Tahor is among the mountains and as Carmel by the sea, he shall come, O you daughters dwelling in Mitzrayim, prepare yourself to go into exile. For Noph shall become a waste and a ruin and be burned without inhabitant. Mitzrayim is like a very pretty heifer, but destruction comes. It comes from the north. Her hired one too in her midst are like fattened calves. For they too shall turn, they shall flee away together. They shall not stand, for the day of their calamity has come upon them, the time of their punishment. He moves along like a serpent. Its sound moves along like a serpent, for they move on like an army and come against her with axes like woodcutters. They shall cut down her forest, declares Yah, for it is not searched, because they are more numerous than locusts and without number. The daughters of Mitzrayim shall be put to shame. She shall be given into the hand of the peoples of the north. Yah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, has said, see, I'm bringing punishment on Ammon of No, and on Pharaoh, and on Mitzrayim, and on their mighty ones, and on their sovereigns, and on Pharaoh, and on those trusting in him. And I shall give them into the hand of those who seek their lives, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, sovereign of Babel, and into the hands of his servants. And afterwards it shall be inhabited as in the days of old, declares Yah. But as for you, do not fear, O my servant Yaakov, and do not be discouraged, O Israel. For look, I am saving you from afar, and your descendants from the land of their captivity. And Yaakov shall return, and shall have rest, and be at ease, with no one disturbing. Do not fear, O Yaakov, my servant, declares Yah. For I am with you, though I make a complete end of all the nations to which I have driven you, yet I do not make a complete end of you. But I shall reprove you in right ruling, and by no means leave you unpunished. You know, we don't have to fear the things that are coming in the days ahead, whether this is the end or the beginning of birth pains. Whether we see a one world government being moved toward the new world order coming into place, we already know from Revelations that that time is coming when the Antichrist sets himself up. But we also know that through that, time, those who have the mark of Yah upon their head and upon their hand cannot be touched. We know that that great Babel will again arise. Babylon, the great whore. And as we look at the powers and the principalities, as we look at the political correctness that has ran across America, as we look at the abominations that we have called normal, at the good that we have called evil and the evil that we have called good. How much should we lament for our country, and how surprised should we be if judgment has come? May it truly be a time when men will repent and not harden their heart. But mostly will it be a time for his people to arise, to cast off the sins that have so easily beset us, and to walk worthy of the calling of which we've been called. Let's also look at Malachi 3. One through 24, if you have the Hebrew Bible, or chapter 3 and chapter 4, if you have the scriptures or our Old Testament is translated. I'm going to start in Malachi 3:1, read through the end of that chapter or through the end of chapter 4, depending on which translation you're using. So see, I'm sending my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the master you are seeking comes to his call, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. See, he is coming, says Yahweh host, who is able to bear the day of his coming, who is able to stand when he appears. For he is like the fire of a refiner and like the soap of a launderer. He shall sit as a refiner and as a cleanser of silver. He shall cleanse the sons of Levi, refine them as gold and silver, and they shall belong to Yah, bringing near an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Yehuda and Jerusalem be pleasant to Yah, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I shall draw near to you for right ruling. I shall be a swift witness against the practitioners of witchcraft, and against adulterers, and against them that swear to falsehood, and against those who oppress the wage earner and his wages, and widows and the fatherless, and those who turn away the sojourner and do not fear me, said Yahweh host. Now again, here he's coming to execute judgment as he returns. Here the messenger of the covenant is coming back. Here's the return of the refiner. And what does he do as he returns? He draws near to us with right ruling. He begins to separate those who are not obedient from those who are obeying, from those who are walking his way. For I am Yah, I shall not change. And you, O sons of Yaakov, shall not come to an end. For the days of your from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my laws and did not guard them. Turn back to me, and I shall turn back to you, said Yahweh host. The call still goes out today, as the church as a whole have done the same, have turned aside from his laws, that we do not guard them. Excuse me, as few will even be observing Pesach as it comes. But maybe a time as we are searching, as we are humbled, as we begin to cry out during these days, may many hear his spirit to return, to repent, and to follow the Messiah of Scripture. In what way shall we turn back? Would a man rob Elohim, verse 8? yet you are robbing me. But you said, in what have we robbed you? In the tithe and the offering, you have cursed me with a curse, for you are robbing me, this nation, all of it. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and let there be food in my house. And please prove me in this, said Yah of hosts, whether I do not open for you the windows of the heavens and shall pour out for you boundless blessings. And I shall rebuke the devourer for you, so that it does not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor does the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, said Yah of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a land of delight, said Yah of hosts. Your words have been strong against me, says Yah, but you have said, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is worthless to serve Elohim. What did we gain when we guarded his charge and we walked as mourners before Yah of hosts? Now we're calling the proud blessed. Not only are the doers of wrongness built up, but they also try Elohim and escape. Does that not describe us today? For the church as a whole that has not given as Yah has commanded. We have not taken care of the father and the widow, the fatherless and the widows. Then instead, we have looked to the government to set up social programs to take care of those. Excuse me. Many times we've not taken care of our churches, of his house, of those who are in his service. Many times we haven't even known what tithes he has required. We have said, what is it worth to follow the law? And not only have we said, what is it worth to follow the law, we've gone so far as to say, those who follow the law are crucifying Christ, are denying him, are falling from grace. So that we've not only said, is it worthless to serve him, we've said that it's actually apostasy to serve him. And we've called the proud blessed. We've seen the wrongdoers built up. And we say they have escaped Elohim. We see even today that he is calling those into account. We see as the world economies have shut down, as the things that men have relied upon are falling quickly away, that truly he is on the throne. And that he is our deliverance. That if we will just turn again to him, if we will listen to him, if we will guard his ways. Verse 16 says, Then shall those who fear Yah speak to one another. And Yah listens and hears, and a book of remembrance be written before him of those who fear Yah and on those who think upon his name. And they shall be mine, says Yah of hosts, on the day that I prepared a treasured possession. And I shall spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again see the difference between the righteous and the wrong, between one who serves Elohim and the one who does not serve him. I'm proclaiming again that Yah is doing that even in the midst of these days and in the midst of these trials. And if we will again turn to him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, if we will love him, trust him, obey, if we will Shema, hear, and do, we will see him rise with healing in his wings. For look, the day shall come burning like a furnace, and all the proud and every wrongdoer shall be stubble. And the day that shall come shall burn them up, says Yah of hosts, which leaves to them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. You shall go out and leap for joy like calves from the stall. You shall trample the wrongdoers, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says Yahweh host, remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, laws and right rulings. See, I am sending you Eliah the prophet before the coming of the great and awesome day of Yah. He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with utter destruction. It is sad during these days as we see many families having time together where they haven't had time together. Many children being out of school and parents being off of work. Where before the cry was, we never have time as a family. And now the cry is going out, we're having too much time as a family. Where the hearts of the father are not turned to the children. The hearts of the children are not turned to the father. Parents are not proclaiming, as the scripture says, that children are a blessing unto Yah. And children are not honoring their fathers and their mothers, as scripture says, so that their days may be long. We have a generation where parents do not know how to parent, and children do not honor their parents. And we wonder why judgment has ran through our land. May be a time of families again learning the meaning of family. Of parents learning to cherish their children and children to obey their parents. May it be a time again as we have been given time. That we can use that to study to show ourselves approved. That we can use that to see our families strengthened. That we can use that time to speak to one another, to encourage one another. And that Yah would listen in here and a book of remembrance be written before him. Even as we begin another cycle with Pesach coming, with unleavened bread, of getting all the leavening out of our house, of counting the Omer, counting the days till Shavuot. And many are counting the days till the country's off of quarantine, till life becomes some semblance of normalcy again. That we would be counting, but not to the days when we get out of quarantine, but to his time of first fruits on to Shavuot, the time when Messiah arose, conquered death, became our first fruit among many brethren. And looking to the time of Shavuot, of the Spirit falling, of the time when the word was given, when the commands were given, and that we would choose life. John chapter 3. Again, as we see this day being the day that they would choose the lamb and bring it in, care for it, inspect it, see it, knowing that its time of death was near. So again, I encourage each of you to look and to see, and to pray, and to know that you have the Lamb of God in your life. 3:1, there was a man of the Pharisees, Nicodemus was his name, a ruler of the Yehudim. This one came to Yeshua by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from Elohim. For no one is able to do these signs you do if Elohim is not with him. But Yeshua answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he is unable to see the reign of Elohim. Nicodemus said to him, how is a man able to be born when he is old? Is he able to enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? Yeshua answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he is unable to enter into the reign of Elohim. That which has been born of the flesh is flesh, and that which has been born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I have said to you, you have to be born from above. In our lives, have we been born of the water? Yes, if we're still alive. Have we been born of the Spirit? Have we been born of that which is above? Verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who has been born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how is it possible for this to take place? Yeshua answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know this? Truly, truly, I say unto you, we speak what we know and witness that we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If you do not believe when I spoke to you about earthly matters, how are you going to believe when I speak to you about the heavenly? No one has gone up into the heavens except he who came down from the heaven, the Son of Adam. And as Moshe lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even the Son of Adam has to be lifted up, so that whoever is believing in him should not perish, but possess everlasting life. For Elohim so loved the world that he gave his only brought forth Son, so that everyone who believes in him should not perish, but possess everlasting life. For Elohim did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe is judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only brought forth Son of Elohim. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their works were wicked. For everyone who is practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. Excuse me. Lest his works should be exposed. But the one doing the truth comes to the light, so that his works are clearly seen, that they have been wrought in Elohim. Yeshua did not just tell him, believe. He did not end even in saying that he came not to judge the world, but that the world may be saved. He continued and said that, believe and come to the light. Believe and do. Believe and see the works, that they may be clearly seen, that they have been wrought in Elohim. And we have been told all you have to do is believe. And that is true. Salvation comes through faith. But again, James says faith without works is dead. Believe is not just a mental assent. If I believed times were going to get hard, then I prepared. If I believed things were going to be scarce, I got them ahead of time. My actions followed my belief. I may have heard the call to prepare, and I may have agreed with the call to prepare, but if I didn't prepare, it was obviously that I didn't truly believe. So is the belief here that is required, that is spoken of. The belief that when we believe, we will do, we will obey, we will trust. that we will see that he has risen with righteousness in his wings, and we will walk in that same way. Verse 22, after this, Yeshua and his taught ones came into the land of the Yehudim, and he remained there with them and was immersing, and Yochanan was also immersing in Ain near Salem, because there was plenty of water there, and they were coming and were being immersed, for Yochanan had not yet been put into prison. Then a dispute arose between some of Yochanan's taught ones and the Yehudim about cleansing, and they came to Yochanan and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have witnessed, see, he is immersing, and all are coming to him. Yochanan answered and said, no man is able to receive any matter unless it is given to him from the heaven. You yourselves are witnesses for me that I said I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. He that has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the voice of the bridegroom. So this joy of mine is complete. It is right for him to increase, but me to decrease. He who comes from above is over all. He who is from the earth is of the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from the heavens is over all, and what he has seen and heard, that he witnesses. And no one receives his witnesses. Excuse me. He who receives his witness has set his seal that Elohim is true. For he who Elohim has sent speaks the words of Elohim. For Elohim does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all into his hand. Listen to this. He who believes in the Son possesses everlasting life. But he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of Elohim remains on him. I encourage you again today, take this time to reflect. Take these next few days as we empty the leaven from our house, as we see the Lamb. Remember the days of old. That we consider the Lamb of God, that we consider our lives, and is there any wickedness left in it? And that we look to see that we are believing the Son to possess everlasting life, but that not only we are believing, that we are obeying, so that the wrath of Elohim does not remain on us. That we truly humble ourselves and repent. That we seek with all of our might to walk in his ways. And that as the Pesach approaches, we remember what Messiah did for us. That he was lifted up on the stake. That he gave his life willingly, enduring my shame. That he bore my sins, that he died, but that the story didn't end there, but that as first fruits came, he rose again, conquering death and hell, went back to his Father, came back down, spoke with his disciples, told them to go and to spread the message. And said that one day he would again return, that we would see his kingdom, and for us to look forward to those days ahead. May we truly pray in these days for his kingdom to come, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. May we renew ourselves May we rejoice in the sacrifice that he made for us. May we choose life and blessing. May we lift him up that he may draw men unto himself. Father, thank you again for your word, for your spirit, truly for the days ahead. May we have eyes to see and ears to hear. Amen. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod, Malhuto, Leolam Vayed. Shabbat Shalom.